972. Love to hear from you. Get into detailed answers to your questions. And as well, from our website at sundayhousecall.com, you can ask your questions. I can send you information and give you a bit more background to the area of interest that you have. And as you know, we're going to rejoin Dr. McMillan. We were talking about the CMA releasing this week a proposal to help correct some of the problems in our healthcare system and amalgamating a public and private type of cooperation to make things a little bit better. Now, reading, and I want to address some of the initial responses of the critics of the process, because it seems that it's the same arguments. And as you mentioned, we want to approach this on a rational level to deal with facts, to deal with what happens in other areas of the world, to look and see what other people are doing so we can incorporate the best into our system. And yet we have comments. For example, the Globe and Mail's editorial on Wednesday, August the 1st, it stated essentially that the CMA's position is essentially self-serving and in conflict of interest, given that the proposals that the CMA are making would benefit its members from a financial standpoint. And so when you face comments like that, how do you respond to something like that?
Well, I think it's just demonstrably false. I mean, the fact of the matter is that if a physician is paid publicly to perform a service that's agreed upon in a hospital through Medicare or in a private clinic at the same rate, there's no difference. He's doing that to provide the service. The idea is to determine for an individual service or a range of services mm-hmm. how best it can be delivered. It's got nothing to do with income or money. It's got to do with what's the most timely and efficient way to deliver a service to a patient in need.
And other critics, such as the Canadian Healthcare Coalition, are saying, and they came out very strongly, and I know receiving emails and all kinds of interesting rebuttals to the plan. They're saying, one, that it would drain physicians away from the public pool and leave many areas of care, and secondly, that there are also concerns that the provision of care would not meet accepted standards under the aegis of, again, that word coming up, maintaining profitability in the practice.
Well, again, I claim those assertions are false and unproven. The recommendations are quite direct in that regard, that the same standards of care, the same standards of ethics, the same standards of professional behavior would apply no matter where the service was provided. In addition, there are statements in there quite distinctly that these type of options, and they are options for discussion and debate, and I wish we'd have them, should be determined based on in the best interest of the patient.
Well, it seems that the debate right now, whenever you bring anything up that challenges the status quo, and I'm expressing my bias, I have to be honest about this, whenever things are brought up to challenge the status quo, it's essentially name-calling, casting aspersions against the integrity of the person that is at least trying to say, let's look at what is wrong with the system and try to fix things. And all you want is really a discussion, as opposed to having the cannons come out and try and shoot down the person trying to express the idea. And I find that very distasteful.
It does become rather personal, and I think rather negative. And I don't think it's very productive. I think our population and our patients want and expect more. And I'm happy to try to lead the debate and the discussion. In our own small community here, where, we don't have a lot of private medicine for the comprehensive range of services, we have the same concerns, and mm-hmm. I hear this across the country, that everyone has, that eventually just how much more can government put into the delivery of health care without making some very difficult decisions. So let's have the debate and let's have the discussion and let's keep it on a rational level based on what the patients and the population need and how best you and I can deliver the care.
And there are also situations in our system today where people are very accepting of having to either get private insurance for a service, and federal government provides a tremendous healthcare package for its employees, where they can have access to medications and services, physiotherapy services, massage therapy, a whole dental services, a whole range of services that other Canadians cannot. And yet somehow that is okay, but it's not okay to try and bring that debate for all Canadians. And I bring this up again, even today, my own personal experience, my son requires some dental work, and the dental work is going to require anesthesia, and he's going to, it's just something that has to be done. So the dentist that we've spoken to practices at Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario. And also there is a surgical center in Ottawa that has been set up that they rent out, and that they can use that center to provide services because the waiting times at CHEO are very long. So the option is wait at CHEO or have it done next month. And well, frankly, I'm going to have it done next month. No one says anything about that at all. It's complaining that that's wrong. I don't hear anybody complain that's wrong for dentists to do that. It seems to be accepted. So isn't the mode of thought exactly the same when we're talking about medical services, since he's having surgery? It's dental surgery, but it's still medical services.
Yes, in the broadest term it is. And my understanding is, although it is somewhat limited, that there are areas of the country where the public capacity is overwhelmed or just not available, and the governments are contracting out at their rates the type of services that you're talking about into private clinics in order to either to get the service done when it can't be or to get it done in a timely fashion without an undue wait. And I don't know why anyone would object to that in principle.
And to carry that further, we have the government in itself, workers' compensation boards, that are trying to get their clients back to work or at least diagnosed quickly, paying for MRIs to get them done faster so that the assessment can be done faster and they can process the... So the government, in fact, doesn't follow what it is, what it's saying it wants to do.
Well, I think that's why one of the reasons we have to have the debate and the discussion. And again, I would just emphasize, I think at the end of the day, what you and I agree upon is what's best for the patient, what's best for the population.
Now, turning to other countries, has the CMA analyzed, and are they going to be using an analysis of what other people are doing in the world, what other governments and jurisdictions are doing in the world, to bring that home to Canadians to say, look, this is what they're doing in Switzerland, this is what they do in France, in Belgium, in Western European countries. This is how they manage their healthcare system. People, are they falling through the cracks? Are people dying on the street with this system? Let's look at this and see how it works, because we need to really look at our system and say there are deficiencies and maybe what they're doing is helpful. Has the CMA started an analysis of that, and will they then be presenting that to the public to show real examples and real data?
The answer is yes to both, and I think you're right. The models that they will be looking at, which more approximately approach what we would be looking at, are European and Scandinavian models. I think it's rather interesting that in the famous movie by Michael Moore, although there was passing reference to the Canadian healthcare system, he spent all of his time in France and England.
Mm-hmm.
In England, part of it related to, I think, the fact of reducing and eliminating surgical lists by contracting them out to private surgical facilities. In France, the situation is very different, both in terms of funding and delivery, but in both cases, he seemed to indicate that these models certainly did present very good models of a mixed system that worked very efficiently and very well on behalf of patients.
Now, what do you see as a possible future for our system should the status quo remain? If no one wants to listen, governments don't want to act, what do you envision happening to our system 5, 10, 20 years from now?
It's hard to look ahead that far, but if current trends continue, and I certainly hope they won't, the two things that discourage me the most are, number one, more and more Canadians will not have a primary care physician at all, and number two, the wait lists will just grow. And the question is, how long can they grow or how far can they grow until you have a public outcry that will deliver the public message and the political will to change it?
So what are the next steps? What are the plans now for the CMA in the next several months, now that this policy has been presented to Canadians? How is the message going to come out? How would you like to frame the debate? And is there a plan to sort of present in sort of small doses to Canadians good factual information so that they can digest that and start to ask the questions that are necessary to further improve the system?
Well, we think the immediate plan is to carry the dialogue forward between now and to our annual meeting at General Council in Vancouver. It is a policy, as you say, and it is in place. There may be refinements or further direction, But the big thing, I think, is to keep the public and the population and our patients aware that we're trying to work on their behalf and their benefit. And there are, as you say, critics and opposition, and I think they have to be faced head on. But at the end of the day, our message is simply the same, that we're working what we think is in the best interest of our patients and the population, and these are the highlights of what we'd like to do or have discussed, and we certainly hope they'll be discussed.
Well, Dr. McMillan, I wish you all the best, and I'd like to say that I'm very pleased the CMA has, again, it's my bias, but I'm very pleased the CMA has presented this position. I think it's important to generate discussion, not to have acrimony, not to cast aspersions on people's integrity just because they may have a different opinion, and to try to come to some reasonable assessment of what is necessary to make the system work, because I happen to agree with your point of view that if we don't do anything, the system is not going to survive in its current state.
Thank you for your time, sir.
All the best.
Thank you.
Dr. Colin McMillan is president of the Canadian Medical Association. Coming up, your calls. Our lines are open at 1-800-580-2372, 1-800-580-2372. We have Penny in Dunvegan and Elizabeth in Ottawa on the lines. Looking for your calls as well, 1-800-580-2372.